Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, May 26th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Craddock Works for Basin's Own Surgical Training Program, by Stuart Doreen. An initiative by Representative Tom Craddock to help establish a general surgical resident training program in the Permian Basin could be voted on by House and Senate members this week. The rider request that Craddock submitted is in the conference committee report. It calls for more than $1.675 million over the biennium, $499,758 in general revenue in fiscal year 2022, and $1,176,245 in fiscal year 2023 to support administrative and residency costs for the Permian Basin Rural General Surgical Residency Training Program in association with the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Officials called it a community-based residency program for both Midland and Odessa. There is no surgical residency program currently in the region, and this funding will allow TTUHSC to begin hiring staff. Other recent rural healthcare initiatives from Craddock include another partnership with Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. In 2013, Craddock drove the effort to keep and eventually expand the TTUHSC Physician Assistance PA program at Midland College. In 2019, Craddock helped secure $20 million for facilities associated with the PA program. A second rider from Craddock this session provides funding for a full-time extension agency employees that would oversee education programming about chronic disease prevention in rural parts of the Permian Basin. One employee is based in the extension office that helps residents in Midland, Martin, and Dawson counties, while the other works in the office that helps residents in Crane, Upton, and Reagan counties. Last week, Craddock's office announced two bills the Midland Republican filed that were on their way to Governor Greg Abbott's desk. House Bill 876 would ensure that any Texas resident who would prefer a paper check instead of an electronic fund transfer may not be charged any additional fees. We can't discriminate against those who need and utilize paper copies, Craddock stated in a news release, even though this issue was brought to me by a constituent. I am thankful this legislation will be able to help many Texans for years to come. House Bill 1572 seeks to clarify that a business which rents electric generation equipment is considered a retail electric provider, thus allowing these businesses to lease on a per megawatt hour. By clearing up the gray area for businesses, consumers will be able to be billed on a per megawatt hour rather than solely a flat fee. Ensuring customers are being properly billed for the use of an electric generator, Craddock stated. This article is entitled, Council Discusses Spending $25 Million in Rescue Plan Funds, by Caitlin Randall. The City of Midland has received guidance from the federal government for spending $25 million in an American Rescue Plan Act funds designed to help entities and communities recover from economic losses associated with the coronavirus pandemic. Council members have identified three priorities for using the funds, they said at Tuesday's City Council meeting. Those are making the community, including nonprofits, as whole as possible, freeing up the general fund so it can be used for other projects, and rewarding critical personnel who worked through the pandemic. The American Rescue Plan allows for premium pay up to $13 per hour over an individual's regular pay for those in industries associated with responding to the pandemic, said Mark Mason, the city's director of finance. The payments would prioritize lower-income individuals first, he said. The city has the option to give grants to various industries and distribute the additional pay from there. City staff also recommended some of the $25 million will be used for water and sewer infrastructure. Using the American Rescue Plan funds for utilities infrastructure would free up money that could then be used for road repairs, Mason said. The city will receive the funds in two tranches. The first $12.5 million tranche has already been received. All funds must be obligated by December 31, 2024, and spent by December 31, 2026. Additionally, on Tuesday, the council discussed how to distribute $1.2 million in community development block grant funds. Some of the items discussed were assisting homeowners with repairs from winter storm issues, $150,000 for the city's first-time homebuyer program, the senior nutrition program through Casa de Amigos, improvements to the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, infrastructure assistance for Midland Visions 2000, a nonprofit that builds affordable housing. This article is called Small Bites. Rockhounds games offer plenty of variety for a night at the ballpark, by J.C. Lewis. The Momentum Bank Ballpark lacks for nothing when it comes to a diverse food selection. No matter the mood, people can find something to abate their appetite. The ballpark has Rocky's Barbecue, Hot Corner, Game Time Grill, and Triple Play Taqueria, plus hot dog and Philly cheesesteak, mini melts ice cream, popcorn and ice cream carts. Plus, this is the first year HTO is open at the ballpark. The ballpark favorite is by far hot dogs. However, the menu selection goes on from there, Assistant General Manager Jeff Von Hall said. Menus offer a peanut butter and jelly bacon hot dog, potato jalapeno cheddar bites, chicken and waffles, onion rings, nacho chili cheese fries, barbecue nachos, turkey legs, Frito pie, taco salad, tamales, walking taco, nachos grande, Philly cheesesteak, and more items across the many vendors. The barbecue is catered. Fans in the suites can enjoy pre-ordered catered trays, or they can order food throughout the game as well. The Diamond Club offers members a buffet for $15, not available in May, or meal baskets. A popcorn machine that will make Cheetos popcorn will be available starting this week. This year, the ballpark has Bush's Bush Baby Chicken Sandwich as well as Domino's Pizza, Cheesy Bread, and Cinnamon Bread. On Thursdays, all drinks are half-priced, including sodas, beers, and more. The ballpark currently carries five Tall City Brewing Company beers, 5 Hour Drive, Haboob, 2 Degrees, Haza Y'all, and a new brew, and four eccentric brewing beers, West Texas Gold, El Jefe, Pig Slayer, and Lemon Lime Seltzer. Tall City Brewing Company introduced a new beer Tuesday, the Houndtown Colt Style Ale. The beer is only available at Tall City Brewing Company and Momentum Bank Ballpark. The beer is light, drinkable, and dry, with slight notes of muted fruitiness. It also pairs well with a hot dog. More news. Low Street Books held a soft opening Saturday in the Micro Market at 201 West Wall Street. This week, the shop will be open from 3 to 10 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. The bookstore, a wine bar and restaurant, will be having an event 3 p.m. Wednesday at the Micro Market. Chuck and Patty's opened at 5520 North Big Spring Street, Suite B. The restaurant is open 10:45 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Sunday. The restaurant serves draft beers, lagers, IPAs, hard shakes, craft sodas, burgers, chicken sandwiches, fries, truffle fries, and more. Midland Meat Company is now offering Angus Hereford beef alongside the renowned Wagyu cross beef. The beef is low prime and high choice, aged 21 days, hanging, and is all natural. Brews and Chews will be 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. June 5th at the Beer Garden with Eccentric Brewing Company serving a cash bar, Pachuco Mobile Food Company, and Texas Tap Company. Tickets are required for the event and are $70 for lunch and $85 for dinner. To purchase, visit eventbrite.com. For more information, visit mrt.com/entertainment/restaurants-bars. Final Brunch, announced at Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Endless Horizons will be playing Beats with Bubbly and Brunch at the Barrel and Derrick. The brunch will be from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. June 13th at 305 East 5th Street in Odessa. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled, Developments Lead to Odessa's Colin Sewell Taking Over as Acting COO at IDEA, from Staff Reports. Odessa businessman Colin Sewell has been named Acting Chief Operating Officer at IDEA Public Schools, it was announced Tuesday. The move is one of many developments announced by IDEA Public Schools Board Chair Al Lopez. Midland is currently the home of one IDEA school, IDEA Travis Academy. There are others planned for Midland and Odessa. Sewell also serves as Vice Chair of IDEA's Board of Directors. On Tuesday, IDEA Public Schools announced the following in a news release. In 2020, the IDEA Board of Directors directed outside special counsel to conduct an in-depth legal and forensic review of financial transactions and ideas, transactions and activities of IDEA senior executives over the past several years. The review uncovered substantial evidence that in the years prior to the board's policy reforms in 2020, a small number of IDEA senior leaders directed the use of IDEA financial and staff resources for their personal benefit on multiple occasions. In light of the evidence, and compelled by the board's fiduciary responsibility to ensure IDEA's resources are directed wholly toward the mission, the CEO and COO are no longer employed at IDEA, and the board has appointed Lopez as acting CEO and Sewell as acting COO. Both will serve in a volunteer capacity during the search for new leadership. The board also directed IDEA's special counsel to refer this matter to the appropriate authorities for review of the evidence uncovered. The board is also cooperating with the Texas Education Agency and has invited TEA's commissioner to appoint a monitor or conservator. In his letter, Lopez pledged to give his all to make sure the founding mission of the organization is honored and IDEA students thrive during these challenging times. Adding, throughout this transition, the board, Colin, and I will be relying on the strength and expertise of our extended community and supporters as we begin a new chapter in the future of IDEA Public Schools. This article is entitled Chisos Mountain Trails to Reopen After South Rim Fire, by J.C. Lewis. The 1,341-acre South Rim Fire has been declared out over most of the Chisos Mountains, and Big Bend National Park visitors will soon be able to enjoy many popular trails and backpacking campsites, according to a press release. Areas impacted by the South Rim Fire open for day hiking Monday and will open to camping on June 1st. The trail network in the Chisos Mountains backcountry has been closed since April 8th because of the wildfire, which began along the remote south rim of the Chisos. After 7 weeks of closures, we are glad to be able to safely open access to the Chisos Mountain Trail System, so hikers can enjoy many of the park's highlights, including the South Rim and Emery Peak, said Park Superintendent Bob Krumenaker in the release. Chisos hikers should be aware they will be traveling through some areas that were impacted by the South Rim fire. The Chisos woodlands are now a mosaic of burned and unburned areas of various intensities. For safety, the National Park Service asks hikers to be alert, stay on established trails, and watch out for any fallen trees, especially during high winds. Trails that have opened include Pinnacles Trail, Emery Peak Trail, South Rim Trail, Boot Canyon Trail, and Colima Trail. The East Rim Trail will reopen on June 1st when the existing peregrine falcon nesting closure lifts. Hot spots still remain in the Juniper Canyon area, and that trail will remain closed until further notice. Backpacking campsites along these trails will reopen June 1st. Backcountry permits are required to use these campsites and may be obtained online at recreation.gov. The backcountry campsites fared very well in the fire, and the majority were not impacted at all. Several campsites are located near areas that burned more intensely and may not provide as much shade as before. Site descriptions on recreation.gov have been updated with new info and images of affected sites. The South Rim fire destroyed the composting vault toilet that served the popular South and East Rim area. The NPS is currently assessing options of rebuilding the toilet in that remote wilderness location. Until then, overnight backpackers on the South Rim and East Rim campsite will be required to pack out human waste using a waste disposal kit such as peat, clean waste, WAG bags, Rest Stop 2, or similar products. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled Developments Lead to Odessa's Colin Sewell Taking Over as Acting COO at IDEA, from Staff Reports. Odessa businessman Colin Sewell has been named Acting Chief Operating Officer at IDEA Public Schools, it was announced Tuesday. The move is one of many developments announced by IDEA Public Schools Board Chair Al Lopez. Midland is currently the home of one IDEA school, IDEA Travis Academy. There are others planned for Midland and Odessa. Sewell also serves as vice chair of IDEA's board of directors. On Tuesday, IDEA Public Schools announced the following in a news release. In 2020, the IDEA board of directors directed outside special counsel to conduct an in-depth legal and forensic review of financial transactions and ideas transactions and activities of IDEA senior executives over the past several years. The review uncovered substantial evidence that in the years prior to the board's policy reforms in 2020, a small number of IDEA senior leaders directed the use of IDEA financial and staff resources for their personal benefit on multiple occasions. In light of the evidence, and compelled by the board's fiduciary responsibility to ensure IDEA's resources are directed wholly toward the mission, the CEO and COO are no longer employed at IDEA, and the board has appointed Lopez as acting CEO and Sewell as acting COO. Both will serve in a volunteer capacity during the search for new leadership. The board also directed IDEA's special counsel to refer this matter to the appropriate authorities for review of the evidence uncovered. The board is also cooperating with the Texas Education Agency and has invited TEA's commissioner to appoint a monitor or conservator. In his letter, Lopez pledged to give his all to make sure the founding mission of the organization is honored and IDEA students thrive during these challenging times. adding, throughout this transition, the board, Colin, and I will be relying on the strength and expertise of our extended community and supporters as we begin a new chapter in the future of IDEA Public Schools. This article is entitled, Midland Program Uses Inmates to Pick Up Trash, from Staff Reports. Midland County Sheriff's Office, Keep Midland Beautiful, and the City of Midland are collaborating to use inmates and those that need to pay off fines to remove litter from state and city rights of way through a community work program. This program was effective in the past, but was stopped due to the pandemic. With the lessening of restrictions for COVID, agencies felt this would be a good time to bring back the program. The shutdown of the Permian Basin during COVID resulted in large amounts of trash buildup on our highways and roads. Sadly, while many community cleanup groups have been organized to address the problem, the roadways are still filled with trash, more than volunteers are able to pick up. Dirty roads are a danger to the environment and are unappealing to visitors. Clean roadways allow visitors and residents to appreciate the beauty of our state, uninterrupted by unsightly litter, according to a news release. This is the Energy Page. This article is entitled, Oil Little Changed as Investors Weigh Iran Talks Demand Bump, by Andres Guerra-Laz, Bloomberg. Oil inched up with the prospect of a continued recovery in demand, offsetting some concerns around higher Iranian supplies if sanctions on the country's exports are loosened. West Texas Intermediate closed higher after switching between gains and losses in about a $1 a barrel trading range on Tuesday. Expectations for a pickup in demand as the U.S. summer driving season begins this month, as well as signs of improving mobility in Europe, are keeping prices supported. Meanwhile, talks between Iran and other nations continued in Vienna to resolve outstanding issues on a nuclear accord, which may pave the way for the removal of sanctions on crude flows from the Persian Gulf nation. WTI for July delivery settled at $66.07 a barrel. The market will likely remain choppy, with the potential supply increase being weighed against projected demand this summer, said Tom Finlan of Brownsville GTR LLC, a trading and logistics firm based in Houston. Diplomats have to speak in optimistic terms, but there are still some significant hurdles to climb. Futures in New York moved back toward their settlement price after drifting lower late afternoon. The American Petroleum Institute was said to report a $439,000 barrel decline in U.S. crude inventories, as well as a drop in both gasoline and distillate stockpiles last week. Crude futures have risen for a third straight session, holding close to $66 a barrel in New York. But the prospect of a further ramp-up of Iranian production has kept rallies limited. A tens of millions of barrels stash of oil floating on tankers is at stake in the event a deal is reached. Iran may be holding as much as 69 million barrels at sea, according to estimates from E.A. Gibson Shipbrokers Limited, though it is hard to be sure exactly how big the floating stockpile really is. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, May 26th. R. Clifford Banks. R. Clifford Banks, known to friends and family alike as Buzzy, passed away peacefully in his home on May 11th at the age of 103. He was born in 1917 in Kansas City, Missouri, to Rufus Clifford Banks and Jessie Marie Odell. He met his first wife, Lucille Halsell Combs, in 1940, and they were married a few years later. In 1953, he married his beloved Jean and moved to Midland with her two children, Charles and Anne Gilbert. He is survived by his son, Richard Banks, Charles Gilbert, his daughter, Anne Gilbert Wiley, seven grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. Jean McIntyre Banks and Mary Halsall Banks Leonard preceded him in death. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Midland Memorial Foundation. A celebration of R.C. Banks' life will be held on Thursday, May 27th at 10 a.m. at First Presbyterian Church, Midland, 800 West Texas Avenue. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ronald T. Sponberg. Ronald T. Sponberg, 70, passed away in Houston on May 23, 2021, while surrounded by his loving family. Ron was born on July 13, 1950, and was heartily welcomed into the loving home of his parents, Oliver and Anita Sponberg of Austin. He is survived by his two daughters, Jennifer Whalen, husband JP, and Carolyn Bagchi, husband Todd, as well as his grandchildren. He is also survived by his loving sister, Charlotte Sponberg Lerman of Austin, and his nieces, Sarah Lerman Bromill of Golden, Colorado, and Lisa Lerman of Austin. A service will be held at St. Martin's Episcopal Church, 717 Sage Road, Houston, 77056, at 4 p.m. on Friday, May 28th. You can also view the service by visiting https://stmartinsepiscopal.org/funerals and clicking on the live stream link under Ron's name. If you cannot view this service live, it will appear on the St. Martin's website for 3 weeks. Remembrances may be made in Ron's name to St. Martin's Episcopal Church, Men of St. Martin's Bible Study Fund, 717 Sage Road, Houston, Texas, 77056. Death notices. Matred Foster, 83, passed away on Thursday, May 20th in Colorado City, Texas. Funeral service is set for Wednesday, May 26th at 1 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. She is survived by her 3 sons, Terry Foster, Michael Foster, and Alan Foster, numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, May 26, 2021. Active Shooter Alert, Bill, signed by Abbott, by OA News at OAOA.com. Austin, House Bill 103, a bill filed by State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican of Odessa, to create the Texas Active Shooter Alert System, was signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott on Monday, a press release detailed. Landgraf's bill, which is referred to as the Lila Hernandez Act, reportedly received unanimous support at every stage of the legislative process. The passage of the Lila Hernandez Act means that Texans will be able to receive timely alerts similar to Amber Alert messages we currently receive if there is an active shooting taking place in their area, Landgraf stated in the press release. This alert system could have saved the lives of some of my constituents back in 2019, like high school student Lila Hernandez. The goal of this legislation is to save lives and prevent mass violence while protecting the constitutional rights of law-abiding Texans. Landgraf crafted HB 103, the Lila Hernandez Act, after working with constituents and families of victims from the August 31, 2019 mass shooting in Odessa and Midland, the press release stated. Lila Hernandez, a 15-year-old Odessa high school student, was the youngest victim killed that tragic day. Lila's mother, Joanna Leva, provided powerful testimony in support of the bill at the Texas Capitol, explaining how an active shooter alert system could have saved Lila's life. "I am proud to sign the Lila Hernandez Act into law, and I thank Representative Landgraf for championing this legislation," Governor Abbott stated in the press release. With the Lila Hernandez Act, the Lone Star State will now have an active shooter alert system that will notify Texans of violent threats in their communities and help save lives. "We will never forget the lives tragically cut short in the Midland-Odessa shooting, including 15-year-old Lila Hernandez. And we will never stop working towards a safer future for our state." HB 103 would require the Texas Department of Public Safety to develop and implement the active shooter alert system. The alerts are intended to be issued quickly via SMS, text, and other available communications to the public in proximity to an active shooter situation. "I want to thank everyone who had a hand in the passage of this legislation, especially Lila's family and other victims and witnesses of the Odessa shooting." Speaker Dade Phelan, Senator Judith Safranini, Chairman James White, Governor Abbott, and many others played important roles in getting this bill over the finish line. Now it is time to get the system in place so we can start saving lives, Landgraf stated in the press release. Last headlines from the front page. Counties 2021-22 raises no cinch. Road maintenance, library review, completion of new juvenile center are priorities. By OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County Commissioners Tuesday said they hope to give all 760 of the county's employees a raise next year, but whether they do will depend on finances. Commissioners Greg Simmons, Mike Gardner, and Don Stringer said other considerations, like the necessity of improving roads and the possibility of building a new library, will also figure into the equation. Just before starting to hear from the departments during the 10 a.m. meeting, Simmons said priorities include road improvements, finishing the new $25 million juvenile detention center, on which construction is about to start, and hearing from the library committee about either remodeling the library or building a new one. "It's too early to tell about raises," the Precinct 2 commissioner said. "The department heads will go back and start putting together their request, but we don't know what kind of revenues we'll have. The main thing is continuing with the upgrade of roads, trying to get caught up on road maintenance, and then the library. I don't have an opinion on building a new library, and we'll wait for the committee's report," said Simmons, a bank president who has been on the court for 21 years. "Starting next year, I'd like to set aside budget reserves for the courthouse and save money so we don't have to borrow the full amount. Gardner said raises are one of the things we will look at. Meeting with the department heads this morning is just part of the process, the Precinct 1 commissioner said. Everybody wants to get all they can get. Referring to his late father, Freddie, who served on the court for 17 years, Gardner said, "I've been hearing about this all my life. We will take it a department at a time and do what's right." Representing Precinct 3, Stringer said the feasibility of 2021-22 raises is yet to be determined. "I would love to give them a raise, but we have to be able to justify it," he said. "Revenues were down last year, and it's still early in the process. We have heard from some department heads already requesting increases for themselves and their employees. We'll just have to wait and see." Judge Debbie Hayes is scheduled to present her proposed budget July 27, preparatory to the court's first budget hearing August 9th. In other business, in the meeting at the 1010 East 8th Street Administration Building, the court heard Ector County Utility District President Tommy Irvin say his May 20th ribbon cutting at a new desalination system at 5016 Johnson Road in West Odessa could harbinger a new day for rural water supplies in the county. Irvin said the system will remove alkalinity, ammonia, nitrates, phosphates, and other impurities from brackish water and make it drinkable. He said the water will be improved in West Odessa and Gardendale, where water purity has become a problem. Robert Ornelius, Director of Transportation, Planning and Development at the Texas Department of Transportation, said a survey of needs on Loop 338 is well underway, with the citizens having been mailed 20,000 postcards and letters seeking input. Ornelius said rights of way and utility lines are being analyzed. The court also named Stringer to be the court's representative on the airport board that oversees Odessa-Slamar Field, authorized Hayes to contract with the Austin law firm of Bickerstaff, Health, Delgado, and Acosta to start political redistricting and possibly redraw boundaries for the commissioner's precincts. Extended to August 31st, 2023, the County Health Department's contract for the provision of pap smears to check for cervical cancer in women with the Texas Tech Health Services Center in El Paso, with the center to supply staffing. Okayed a ground lease contract between the airport and the Patterson-Rosedale Highway Company of Bakersfield, California. Approved contracts for the county clerk's office with the Tyler Technologies Eagle Division of Plano for software services and Co-File Technologies of Dallas for the digitalization of documentations. Approved Human Resources Director Donna James recommendations that a service award luncheon postponed in February will be held on an as yet undetermined date in September in the Zozant Community Room in the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College. Awarded winners. The caption reads, above. Bowie Middle School's counselor, Daniel Dorthetti, Center, is presented with the Ector County Independent School District's 2021 Counselor of the Year Award by Superintendent Scott Murray Tuesday morning in the school lobby. Left, Bowie Middle School's Secretary Sandra Pilger Center is presented with the Ector County Independent School District's 2021 Paraprofessional Employee of the Year Award Tuesday morning in the school lobby. Still reading headlines from the front page. Grapple truck pursues illegal dumping. Gardner says truck will greatly accelerate cleanups. By OA News at OAOA.com. The Ector County Environmental Enforcement Department just got a boost with the delivery of a big $266,938 Peterbilt grapple truck that'll enable the removal of a lot more of the heavier trash like couches and mattresses. Precinct 1 Commissioner Mike Gardner, whose western jurisdiction has been particularly plagued by rampant illegal dumping, says remediation crew member Gilbert Maltos and John Navarro can now tackle the long problematic sites where the bulky items have piled up, noting that the truck was bought from Rush Truck Center with money from the 1 and 25 cent sales tax okayed by voters in November 2018, Gardner said, we will also be able to move around the 10 dumpsters that were paid for by the fines because this truck can lift up to 7,800 pounds. It will keep the men from handling the materials and they will make fewer trips to the Republic Services Charter landfill on the south side of I-20 near Moss Avenue, Gardner said. It'll hold 10 times as much as the truck they've been using. We pay $32 a ton at the landfill. It would cost somebody $150 to dump a mattress, but we can do it in-house for $15 or $20. It's a tremendous piece of equipment. We have left a lot of stuff in place that we can now move. The trucks, grapple, and other special equipment were installed by the Chattanooga, Tennessee-based Hale Truck Equipment Group. Gardner has scheduled a Precinct 1 town hall meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. July 8th at the Sheriff's Substation at Kellis Turner Park at 2230 Sycamore Drive. During budget hearings that will start in early August, the commissioner said he hopes to secure the financing for two more regular trucks, 30 to 40 roll-off bins, and two or three more remediation workers. The cleanup campaign is also in progress in Precinct 2, including the Gardendale area and Precinct 4's South County jurisdiction. Environmental Enforcement Director Ricky George said the average couch weighs 200 pounds and the grapple truck can lift four couches at a time. There are so many illegal dumping sites that have been there for years, George said. Now we have the equipment to get in there and do cleanups at the sites where we didn't catch the bad guys. With this truck, the remediation guys can do in about 2 minutes what it had been taking them an hour to do. These sites attract more trash if they aren't cleaned up. They also attract mice, rats, and snakes. So there is lots of potential to get hurt if guys go in there with their hands. 480 days. For 480 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 17,379 total cases, 375 deaths. Midland County, 17,614 total cases, 271 deaths. Texas, 2,944,265 total cases, 51,249 deaths. U.S. cases, 32,969,905 total confirmed and 587,830 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic. The Texas Army National Guard has scheduled a COVID-19 vaccination clinic, J&J and Moderna, starting at 8 a.m. until they run out Thursday at St. James Missionary Baptist Church, 2212 East 11th Street. Quick hits. Memorial Day Paint Party. Downtown Odessa Incorporated and instructor Jolina Okazaki from News West 9 Sunrise have scheduled a virtual painting class for the holiday weekend. Online registration is required. Materials must be picked up from the Downtown Odessa Incorporated offices, 119 West 4th Street, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday. Call 432-335-4682 when you arrive to the front entrance and materials will be brought to you curbside. Register at downtownodessatexas.com/paintclass. Grief Relief Support Group. Grief Relief Support Group meets from noon to 1 p.m. on the second and fourth Thursdays of each month at Unity Spiritual Center, West Texas, 3952 East 42nd, Suite E1. All are welcome. No cost, no supplies needed. For more information, call 432-614-1712. Exhibition and opening. The 63rd Annual Permian Basin Juried Art Exhibition and Diane K. Brown Solo Exhibition, Lives Lived Well with Stories to Tell, opening will take place at 6 p.m. Thursday at the Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard. The exhibition aims to highlight the talent of artists in and around the West Texas region. This year, artists were encouraged to explore the theme Fairy Tales and Folklore. This show was juried by Alex Gregory, curator of the Amarillo Museum of Art. This exhibition is hosted by the Ellen Noel Art Museum in partnership with the Odessa Art Association. Diane K. Brown was selected by juror Georgina Gozzi as the Best in Show winner of the 62nd Annual Permian Basin Juried Art Exhibition. Diane K. Brown's solo exhibition, Lives Lived Well with Stories to Tell, will also be on view. The digital exhibition will go live on the day of the opening at tinyurl.com/p3thrztr. This exhibition will come to a close August 8th. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. Tea Time. Novel Tea has been scheduled at 6:30 p.m. Thursday in the Commons at First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue. The discussion will be on the Midnight Library. To sign up, text 40778. Check presentation. The caption reads, from left, Midland Police Department Deputy Chief Jared Fannin, Ector County Sheriff Mike Graffis, Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke, and Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner, hold up checks donated by Busting for Badges to their respective departments during a check presentation Tuesday morning at Pioneer Natural Resources in Midland. Each of the local law enforcement departments were given a donation of $105,000. Death notices. Jose Luis Armendariz, Odessa. Jose Luis Armendariz, 71, died Monday, May 24, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Clyde Chandler, Crum. Clyde Chandler, 77, of Crum, died Monday, May 24, 2021, in Crum. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., May 27, 2021, at Elmwood Funeral Home, 5750 Highway 277 South, Abilene, Texas. Arrangements are by Elwood Funeral Home of Abilene. Danny Earl Cox, Odessa. Danny Earl Cox, 68, of Odessa, died Monday, May 24, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. May 27, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Jason Matthew Dirty Dean, Odessa. Jason Matthew Dirty Dean, 36, of Odessa, died Friday, May 21, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, May 28, 2021, at Odessa Bible Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Hazel Smith, Odessa. Hazel Smith, 95, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 23, 2021, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Friday, May 28, 2021, at Odessa section of Ector County Cemetery. Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Nancy Mae Trice, Stanton. Nancy Mae Trice, 77, of Stanton, died Tuesday, May 18, 2021, in Stanton. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, May 26th, 2021. Section B, Health and Wellness. Way to Success. Surgical solutions exist for weight loss. By Sundy Adkins, Midland Health. Throughout this article, whey is spelled W-E-I-G-H. Obesity is a disease that affects more than 72 million people in the United States. Being obese or overweight puts you at greater risk for health problems such as coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, gallstones, breathing problems, and/or certain cancers. Way to Success at Midland Memorial Hospital provides a team approach to helping you reach your weight loss goals. We provide you with the education and lifelong support through our comprehensive program so that you will be successful. Your education class will teach you what you need to know prior to surgery, what to expect while in the hospital, and how to take care of yourself when you are discharged to return home. If you struggle with weight issues, the Way to Success program at Midland Memorial Hospital is here to help. We provide a comprehensive program focused on your individual situation and develop a plan tailored to your needs so that you can take control of obesity and your life. Many factors can contribute to obesity, including genetics, illness, psychology, and lifestyle habits. At Way to Success, we work to determine the factors contributing to your weight issues, and through ongoing counseling and support groups, we work with you to improve your health by addressing the causes of your obesity. Am I a candidate for weight loss surgery? If you are significantly overweight and want to make a lifestyle change, you may be a candidate for weight loss surgery through Way to Success at Midland Memorial Hospital, partnered with Midland Surgical Associates. You could be a candidate for weight loss surgery if you meet any of the following criteria. You are more than 100 pounds over your ideal body weight. You have a body mass index, BMI, of over 40. You have a BMI of over 35 and are experiencing obesity-related health conditions, such as high blood pressure or diabetes. You are unable to achieve a healthy body weight, even through medically supervised dieting. Surgery options. Way to Success specializes in two types of bariatric surgery, sleeve gastrectomy and Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. These surgeries make changes in your digestive system to help you lose weight by limiting how much you can eat or by reducing the absorption of calories, or both. It is important to understand the two methods that create weight loss in our patients. Restriction refers to when a surgical procedure physically changes the capacity of the stomach, which confines the number of calories you can eat. Malabsorption refers to when surgery is used to shorten or bypass part of the gastrointestinal tract, which decreases the number of calories and nutrients the body absorbs when food passes through. Both of these effects have the same purpose, to reduce life-threatening obesity and related illnesses. Knowing more about each type of surgery we offer can help you have an informed conversation with one of our bariatric surgeons. All bariatric surgeries are performed at Midland Memorial Hospital. At your pre-surgical consultation, one of our bariatric surgeons will perform an extensive evaluation to help determine which surgery option is best for you. Financial eligibility. In many cases, insurance companies will help you cover the cost of bariatric surgery. Our insurance specialist will assist you in determining your eligibility with your insurance company. Insurance coverage varies for weight loss surgery procedures. It is crucial that you call your insurance provider to determine if your policy covers surgical weight loss. It is a team effort between you and our insurance specialist to ensure we do everything possible to gain an approval for surgical weight loss procedures, such as laparoscopic gastric bypass surgery or laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy. Our dedicated team will verify your benefits and assist you in understanding insurance requirements. Once you are accepted into the program, you will work with our team to assist you in your preoperative weight loss journey. We understand the importance of surgical weight loss procedures and will work with you every step of the way. Way to Success accepts most major insurance carriers, including Medicare. If it is determined that your insurance will not cover your surgical procedure, we do offer a self-pay option. There are a number of finance companies that offer assistance for surgery. How to Get Started informational seminar. If you are ready to start on your journey to better health, go to our website, MidlandSurgicalAssociates.com, and click on Weight Loss. After you enter some basic information, you will be directed to our informational seminar. The video is an explanation of the two procedures that are offered through our bariatric program, as well as the steps to get started on the journey to better health. Once you have watched the seminar, you will receive an email to complete your patient information forms. When our office receives your patient information forms, our scheduling coordinator will contact you to schedule your surgical consultation with one of our surgeons. If you have any questions, please contact Sunday Adkins, BSNRN, our bariatric clinical manager and program coordinator, at 638-8081 or by email at sunde.adkins@midland-health.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.